For WUKY News, I'm Dan Collins, and this is a special segment of The Business Side. The word business can sometimes assume a narrow definition, but scientists have shown repeatedly the costs of climate change may be much higher than we realize, especially in less developed parts of the world where it threatens the food supply. A new study published in Science Advances looks at the effects of a warming climate on the longest freshwater lake in the world, Africa's Lake Tanganyika. My guest today is the author of that study, Dr. Michael McGlew. He's the Pioneer Natural Resources Endowed Professor of Stratigraphy at the University of Kentucky. Dr. McGlew, welcome.
Thanks, Dan, for having me.
The title of your study is Solar Irradiance and ENSO Affect Food Security in Lake Tanganyika, a major African inland fishery. Help me unpack some of that terminology for our listeners. What is solar irradiance?
Sure. Solar irradiance is basically the amount of energy from the sun that reaches the top of the Earth's atmosphere. And it's one of these potentially very important controls on Earth's climate in the long term.
ENSO stands for El Niño Southern Oscillation. What is that, and why is it important?
In a nutshell, Dan, ENSO is this kind of coupled oceanographic atmospheric phenomenon that focuses mainly on the tropical Pacific, and changes in sea surface temperatures and pressure in that area have been found to be very important for patterns of weather and global climate over long time scales as well.
So how are these forces coming together to threaten the food security of Lake Tanganyika's fisheries?
Yeah, so that's a good question. That really kind of gets to the heart of the study. And the research that we did is really looking at the linkage or the coupling between climate change and Lake Tanganyika's pelagic food web. And so up at the top of the food web are fish, and fish, of course, are what many, many poor people in that area rely on for nutrition and as a source of cash income. And so the coupling between climate and the food web is really through the lake's upwelling system. And upwelling is the process by which sort of deep and nutrient-rich waters are brought up closer to the surface, and that allows algae to really proliferate. And so algae, of course, are simple plants that form or kind of make up the bottom of Lake Tanganyika's food web. And when there's more algae, there's more fish. And so our data and our studies show that a strong monsoon, which kind of provides the energy for the lake to upwell, occurs when solar irradiance is high and also when La Niña conditions are prevailing in the tropical Pacific. And so in contrast, when solar irradiance is rather low or when El Niño is dominating or the warm phase of ENSO is occurring in the Pacific, that tends to affect the monsoon in such a way that the lake is far less inclined towards upwelling. Another factor that plays in here is surface temperature of the water as well. So when surface temperatures of the water are relatively warm, the lake is less likely to upwell and, of course, has that cascading effect on the food web.
So in your report, you say, quote, food security in a warming world is a grave concern for rapidly growing impoverished populations. Where else are we seeing these sorts of adverse consequences of rising temperatures?
It's happening in a lot of places globally, and you know, there's a lot of discussion that you probably have heard about or seen reported of kind of this interface or convergence of environmental change and its impacts on the poor. The poor is somewhat disproportionately affected by environmental changes because they don't have the resources or the resilience to deal with changes in their environment. The way this is playing out in sub-Saharan Africa, at least in the area that I've been working, really directly ties to the primary food source for the people living around the lake. So in that area, the census numbers are not particularly well constrained, but what we do know is that there are many millions of people in this part of the world that rely on fish as their, you know, kind of sole source of nutrition. And so climatic changes that affect the fisheries really do have a remarkable and devastating effect on the people that basically make their lives living off the land adjacent to the lake. And this is happening in a lot of tropical regions around the world where we see, like, for example, the effects of rising sea level in lowland areas in the tropics where lots of poor people are living, for example, in India and Bangladesh. So there's lots of different ways that climate change can have these disproportionate effects on poor people, particularly in the low-latitude regions.
In the time that we've got left, tell me, are you optimistic about our ability to solve problems posed by a warming climate?
I mean, I guess the important part from my perspective is that we take a data-driven and science-driven approach towards understanding the problem and acknowledging that it exists. I think there's a lot of studies out there that provide very good data that indicate that climate change is occurring and that the world is warming and that there's clearly a grave need for a human and societal response to this that probably involves a change in culture, in addition to, you know, serious effort on the side of policy and management to help increase the resilience of our human populations globally.
Does the opposition to that science-driven approach, as you call it, does the opposition frustrate you?
I don't know. I suppose it does frustrate me in a way, because there's, you know, as I mentioned, really good evidence from many, many different studies, virtually globally at this point, Dan, that suggests that the world is warming and it's having, you know, cascading effects on ecosystems. And so to ignore that data is frustrating.
My guest today has been Dr. Michael McGlew. He's the Pioneer Natural Resources Endowed Professor of Stratigraphy at the University of Kentucky. You can read his most recent study online at advances.sciencemag.org, and you can hear our conversation online at wuky.org. Dr. McGlew, thank you for speaking with me today.
Thank you, Dan. It's been a pleasure.